You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Just finishing off the shout-outs, Don. We couldn't forget MichaelChristianMenswear.com. Now, could I just tell you, Don, that the signature caps with your signature and mine on them are just, they are gold. They are gold. They're like nuggets. And Mick's hard-pressed to get the sweatshop people over in Indonesia making them quick enough for us to sell. No, he doesn't.
What about the signatures? Are they real? They're real. They're being forged over in China?
Not in China.
Where?
No, he sends the caps here and we sign them, you know.
Oh, do we?
And Don, the caps are made elsewhere, but they're embroidered in Tasmania.
What about the signatures? I'm more interested in those.
Yeah, I know. Yep, they're real.
Are they?
Well, I've seen you signing them.
Oh, have you?
Have you seen me signing them?
No.
Well, I sign them. Who do you think signs my name?
After last week going to the doctor, I find it hard to believe anything you say.
Yeah, no, I went to the doctor last week. Didn't. Yes, I did.
Jeez, I was up at bloody 5:30.
No, I went to the doctor. Now, Don.
Yes.
So, Michael Christian Menswear, the polo shirts with You Cannot Be Serious, beautiful shirts for Father's Day or Mother's Day Christmas.
Is this an advertisement?
We're trying to. He's invested money in. Not we don't get any, and I'm not sure Mick gets any because that's what he told the tax department.
Why would he be doing it for?
Pardon?
Why would Mick be doing it?
Because he likes to keep his hand in. He likes the podcast, and it's his.
Why doesn't he get off his ass and go and sell his wife's biscuits? She makes beautiful Anzacs, and she wraps them up in cellophane and a little bow. These could be sold at all the gift shops down around Devonport, Launceston.
When he comes over, they're beautiful, those biscuits. Oh, do you know why? Because they're soft.
Well, good boy. I hate hard
Anzacs. Oatmeal soft Anzac biscuits.
And I hate those hard Anzacs.
Maybe if they buy a hat with your signature and
they
mine on it.
They get a biscuit.
They get a little packet of biscuits cellophane.
Do you know how the Anzacs came about?
What's that, Don?
The Anzac biscuits. Do you know how they came about?
Oh,
they were
not
sent
really.
Across to the soldiers in Europe in the First World War.
Yeah.
And they didn't go off because they were made of honey
Mick's
and
missus
oats.
Send them over, the Ayatollah?
No, you idiot. The First World War, 1915. That's how they came about.
At Gallipoli.
Well, wherever.
Gallipoli.
The trenches in France, Gallipoli. Wherever the Australians were fighting.
Vietnam?
The Anzac biscuits went there. They were baked at home and sent over.
I wonder
that's why they're called Anzacs.
Oh, really, Don? I wonder if the Ayatollah, that's Mick's missus.
Was she around in 1915?
I don't know. Looks like Mick looks like he's been around since 1915. Anyhow, so we're sipping. Now, he wanted me to give a shout-out, this is the reason I'm saying this, to John Flindell. I know it sounds silly. John Flindell.
He's making a lot of these names.
He works at the Cataract Gorge.
Oh, that's where he goes walking.
That's something to do with your eyes, isn't it?
No,
cataracts?
No, the Cataract Gorge is down in Launceston.
Why would it
that's
be called
where he goes walking, Mick.
Why would it be called Cataract?
I don't know. Look, obviously, it's a big ravine or something along that
line. A ravine.
You know, a big waterfall, cataract, you know.
Cataract Gorge. So John
cataracts,
Flindell, he's from the Cataract Gorge. I don't know. Does he go swimming there? Why would he, is that a place? Anyhow, so we're giving him a shout out. And this is a
what's
final.
He do at the Cataract Gorges?
I don't know. He just said John Flindell from the Cataract Gorge. He loves the podcast. And he can.
He might be a lifesaver when
now. And he's
fall
got
in.
Caps and he's got a polo shirt.
Who?
Now, this is an advertisement. I'm giving this as a plug. At the Veneto Club, do you know where the Veneto Club is?
Out in Bulleen.
Exactly. On the 25th of June, which is a Sunday.
You haven't got another show out there.
I'm accompanying, have a guess who is the main speaker?
Well. Oh, geez, I don't know.
I tell you what, they'll sell the joint out. Rex.
Bullshit.
Rex Hunt is the headline speaker. I'm out
what
there.
What are you doing out there?
I'm out there to introduce him. And if he gets if he gets, you know, gets a bit nervous.
What, wound up?
Well, wound up because he hasn't done it for a while, but he will, I reckon they'll come from everywhere to hear Rex speak.
Rex. Why don't you take him down to your show at the Rosebud Hotel? Because they're selling tickets down there on the 16th.
This is the
16th of July, isn't it? The 13th. Thursday.
John.
The 13th of July, Rosebud Pub.
If you want to be entertained,
why don't you take Rex down there? Because they're charging $360 to have a photo with you. Who organised this?
I don't know, Don. I just got asked.
Did Nixon organise this Rosebud thing?
Asked. I don't know.
If you counted the money?
I'm getting paid. Does it say that?
Well, wouldn't be doing it for drinks.
Shut up, Don. I'm going to the Veneto Club to compare a show out there at Bulleen on the 25th of June. If you want to be entertained, not by me, by Rex. Because Rex, whether you like it or not, or you would like it, for two decades was the premier caller of football in Australia. And he's a great fishing expert. And he has people. He has Sir Anthony Hopkins converses with him regularly. Tyson Fury. He has Clint Eastwood. He has all those people.
I'm glad he's got those because he's left me alone for a couple of months.
Well, because he's back on track now.
Is he?
And he's good. Back. And you're going to see how much he is back on track because he's going to be speaking at the Veneto Club. And I'm going.
What's
I'll
he
be
going to talk about?
God knows, our Lord knows. I have no idea. It'll be interesting to go. I tell you what, I would book quickly now if you want to be entertained because anything could happen. He might just self-detonate.
I'm just reading this ad for you down at the
Rosebud
Hotel. If you purchase a meal, you get a free drink. What happens if you want to have more than one drink?
What was that then?
Purchase a meal and receive a free drink. Drink.
Yeah, well,
every Wednesday
that?
For lunch and dinner in the bistro.
How much is a pot of beer these
well,
days?
Well, I don't care, but what happens if you wanted to have a couple of drinks, say three drinks? That means you've got to eat three meals?
What?
Well, it says here, purchase a meal and receive a free drink.
Okay, well
that's at your night.
Well, I'm sure that if you purchase three meals, they'll give you three drinks.
How are the tickets going down there? They've got photo packages, live music. Shit.
Anyhow.
And the door's open. I can't
The Veneto
read.
Club on the 25th of June. Book now. Get in quickly, because Rex is going to be
the headline speaker. Is Ricky Nixon taking the photographs of you and whoever wants a photograph with you?
Why do you keep mentioning Ricky
Well,
Nixon?
He's got to be running this.
I'm going to Ballarat. I'm going to Ballarat with Ricky tonight.
Oh, you're
a function.
I thought he was living in Mount Gambier.
Oh, he's living everywhere. He's everywhere.
He's the chicken man.
He's everywhere. Now, Don.
Isn't he called Chicken? Why do they call him Chicken?
Well, either because he was fearful when he played football, he was a bit of a chicken, or he's got
fearful,
a big...
You mean fearful? He didn't like the hard stuff?
He's got a big red...
what? Crest or cock?
Now, what do you call that thing on top?
Comb.
A comb.
He's got a red comb.
A rooster comb.
Yeah.
That a coxcomb, it's called.
It's called a comb.
It's called a coxcomb. A C-O-X-C-O-M-B. A coxcomb.
Tell me, what's a curmudgeon?
A curmudgeon?
I was called that by our friend.
It's a little curmudgeon is a...
It's like a gerbil or gerbil?
Yeah, a little imp or a little...
One of our listeners, who I can't mention, but he's an avid golfer, is listening over in... I don't know where he's listening, Taiwan or somewhere, Cambodia. Yeah. Sent me a text.
What, he's living there?
Oh, I don't know what he's doing. He's travelling the world.
Over
and
in
he's
Thailand.
An avid listener to this podcast. And I don't think he was happy with what I said there last week.
A curmudgeon, I've just looked it up.
Yeah, what is it?
Is a... He's absolutely you to a T. It says it's a bad-tempered person, especially an old one. It's an old bad-tempered person, a curmudgeon.
He's an accountant, not a literary.
So this man's over in Thailand, is he?
Yeah, he's travelling the world with his wife.
But in Thailand.
Yeah, he's over in Thailand now. I think he's going to Ireland and England, and wherever else.
Okay. Now,
well, people are travelling at the moment, aren't they?
They are. Can I don't know where Phoebe is. She said she was coming because I wanted to ask. Name?
Ben's not on today, so that's why she's not here. She
rang me and said she was coming in.
Oh, she won't come in.
I was deliberately waiting for this, but I'm going to mention it now in case she doesn't come in. Married at First Sight. They've had a bit of a hiccup.
What?
Mel Shepherd, who is the woman, has had to put off her wedding.
Mel Shepherd?
Because the bloke she was going to marry has got an incurable STD disease. He's got the jack. And
who is Mel Shepherd?
Melissa Shepherd is the girl that was going to marry the groom, who was going to marry the bloke on Married at First Sight. Groom, who I don't know what his name is, he's come down with an incurable STD disease. He's got the pox. And he hasn't, so they've had to call the wedding off.
Do you know what they used to do in Vietnam when they had the blackjack? They'd send the soldiers up right up the front of the thing, front line.
And?
And you didn't come back.
What, Don?
You didn't come back.
Because you had the jack.
Blackjack, that's very, very bad. You don't want to bring that into Australia.
What did they send them up the front line for?
Well,
just to get rid of them.
Well, yeah, well, you're pretty dangerous up on the front line.
What, do you think they're going to fuck the enemy? What are you talking about?
Well, they get shot, you idiot. Bullets fly everywhere on the front line.
So that's how you eradicate people with the jack?
Well, that's what they were trying.
God, you're a stupid man. You're completely stupid. I was going to ask...
I got that officer... What are those officers called? CMF officer who was serving over in Vietnam. A lot of atrocities went on over there. They're talking about Afghanistan. God.
Yeah, well, the Ask Ben Robert Smith that.
Yeah, but I'm telling you about war, we should not... People become very, very basic in war.
They do, Don.
Very, very basic.
Now, tell me, how easy would this be to discover? Why would this be a news item? There's a woman claiming to be the late Harry White's daughter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, how easy would it be to decide if she is his daughter? How easy would that be?
You're going to have a lot of trouble when you pass too.
How easy
would... You're going to have it be in the same boat. They'll be coming from everywhere.
Don.
Because you're a philanderer.
Don, you're missing the point, you stupid man.
No, I'm not. I'm right on the money.
How easy would it be to decide if Harry White had a daughter, just get her DNA? That would...
Well, you probably haven't got Harry, so what do you compare it with?
Oh, you haven't got Harry's DNA.
No.
Oh, really? Well, of course they'd have.
What are they going to do when you come? When you kick
the bucket? Don't worry about me.
Yeah, well, you better give a bit of DNA now.
I can't.
Why?
Oh yeah, I can. Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah, I think you could do and just keep it in a bottle because they'll be coming out of the woodwork.
Yes, Don.
And they'll all have cases. You know that.
Now, just tidy yourself up because
we've got the reverend here.
Well, he's not a reverend, but he's.
Well, he is a man of the cloth. Or was.
I told you to start this early because we don't want to keep him waiting. But I did tell him how fast he's
on time. He's very anal.
He's, of course he is. Now. Yeah. So it'd be easy to decide if Harry White had a daughter who's got a claim to his inheritance, wouldn't it? Just get a DNA. Why would there be a mystery about that?
Hey, listen, talking about jockeys and Harry White, I was watching the races the other day. A lot of these jockeys have got, I think, face cream on now. Is that to protect them against the wind? They've got this white. I looked at it.
Yeah.
I think it was
maybe
Craig,
the sun.
Craig,
have you ever been down to the beach in the summer and seen the zinc cream on people?
The other day in the middle of winter, and they got this face cream.
Well, they keep saying that the ultraviolet rays in winter are just as strong. That's what they keep saying, Don.
They looked anemic.
Now, here, just listen to this, Don. This is where this world's headed, particularly in America. A court in Seattle ruled that the Olympus Spa, are you listening to this? Olympus Spa, which is a woman's only nude spa, must accept men signalling as women into the spa. They The judgment came out and they said these people do not resemble males, so they do not resemble women, so they are not allowed to come in. They appealed. The people who wanted to go to the spa, a woman called, or a person called Haven Will Whitlich, Haven Whitlich, she sued them. And they said, no, the women's only nude spa now must accept people signalling as women.
Where is it?
It's in, the Seattle judge ruled that...
That's in America. That's wokeism again.
So you'd be in there with a biological female sitting there with nothing on, you know, with the breastal areas out and the minge on full show. And suddenly a bloke walks in, just hanging slack. But he's signalling as a woman, so that's all right, but he's just got the old pendulum going and the gong's down the bottom, sits down, and you are expected to accept him. Can you believe this is what's happening over there? It is extraordinary, isn't it? It's a pity our guest has just come in, has to listen to all this. So he's reading something, so he's not listening. I wonder...
Can we talk about something local?
Yes, Don.
I was driving up here this morning and I was thinking about Alistair Clarkson, you know, the coach of North Melbourne. He's on sick leave at the moment. Does he take a penalty? I don't know whether it'd be sick leave. Well, does he still get paid whatever he had negotiated for his contract?
Well, I have no idea.
And how long is he out of action for?
Until some stage that the AFL led and the top office decide to take the competition by the throat and end this matter once and for all, rather than ducking behind and shirking their responsibility. I am talking about getting the matter over and done with, and rather than duck shoving and blaming everyone else except the people at the top, the buck stops with them.
You've taken it, you've gone off the other end. I'm talking about North Melbourne and Clarkson.
Yep.
Because they've also appealed. Brett Ratton, who's now the coach.
Yes.
Now, this is unbelievable. He was a part-time coach prior to. Now, North Melbourne were asking a week or two ago about an increase in the soft cap. So to include soft cap, it's called. That's where the football expenses. Soft cap, it's called.
Soft cap.
Yes, it relates to the football department. They're not allowed to go over a certain amount as far as expenditure is concerned. Now, Clarkson was full time. Brett Ratton, his assistant, was part time. I can't believe, because they couldn't afford him or put him under the soft cap. And North Melbourne are now asking, because Brett Ratton as a coach, to increase their soft cap.
So
shouldn't Clarkson be taking a reduction in his wage if he's not there performing?
Well, if he's on sick leave because of...
Come on, mate.
If he's on sick leave because of a situation that has got completely out of hand, that hasn't been finalised by the people who run this competition, that's the people in the top office of the AFL, rather than blaming everyone else, if they couldn't organise this and have this over and done with long ago and step to the line and do what they're meant to do, and that's run the competition properly, he wouldn't have to go on sick leave.
If I pose the question, if North Melbourne were in the eight, do you think he'd be taking sick leave? And also Damien Hardwick, if Richmond are in the eight. I don't see Fagan taking sick leave. He's got Brisbane up there fighting it out.